Hey everybody, it is May 8th and this is episode 2 of the Battleborn Libertarian Podcast. And this one we're actually going to get to the news, so hang tight.
You are listening to the Battleborn Libertarian Podcast, the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Here's your host, Tyus France.
Hi everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Battleborn Libertarian Podcast. I'm your host, Tyus France. And I think my switcher is busted. Uh-oh. If you're watching on video, the switching is going to be weird on this. This is episode number 2, so I guess I'm still going to be battling some basic technical challenges along the way. Sitting across from me is my co-host, Alex.
Hey, everyone.
Thanks for being here. And we just finished with a social. We finished up, or I should say social. We had a little meeting at Jalisco's. We recorded a podcast there. You can't hear me?
Can't hear you.
Oh, bummer. Well, sorry. I don't know how to fix that right now, but
no problem.
I am getting your signal, and
as long as you can hear me, it's all good.
I can hear you. And you also got to go see the Nigerian scam scam.
Yes, I did. That was a lot of fun.
Was it good?
Oh yeah, definitely. Very happy to have had the opportunity to go see that great venue. It's called the Space LV. So thank you to Brandon Ellison, and we raised some money for charity.
That's great. That's fantastic. So there's a lot of things going on in the news right now, and I figured we should touch base on maybe some local news. There's some national stuff. There's some international stuff. One thing that I saw that hit the news recently was they are proposing to change the driving laws as far as a law that you are not allowed to drive too slow. Have you seen this one?
I have.
Yeah, so basically, if you are in the fast lane and you are driving too slow, they'll charge you $50 the first time, $100 the second time, $250 the third time. And there's so many things that I see, they'll come out and I'll be like, oh yeah, I like that. And then I think about like my principles and I go, wait, no, I don't like that. So if you're like me, you might go, man, I really hate it. I think it's annoying when people are driving in the fast lane, but they're driving really, really slow. But let's examine the principles behind why this might not be a great law. So one of the things that libertarians believe in is the is non-aggression principle. We agree in personal property. We agree in on freedom, and freedom's a big one. And so we look oftentimes at laws, and we'll say a law should be in place to protect people. But sometimes we just put laws in place around convenience or what we want. And we stop thinking about, well, maybe something is right or wrong, but that doesn't necessarily mean it needs to be legal or illegal. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So what is your opinion on this particular situation?
Oh, I think it's probably much the same of yours. I find it really annoying, and I wish people would voluntarily move their butts right out of the left lane, because it's just... it's frustrating, and it can be dangerous, and I think that's what the Nevada legislators that sponsored this bill were really looking at, was that it wasn't safe because people would then inevitably pass on the right, and it can be very dangerous, high speed, that sort of thing. But it comes down to that enforcement question of, you know, we have so many laws that are already unenforceable. You know, we've got 8,000 untested rape kits in Nevada. We've got... there's a lot of people speeding even, you know, today. Not that I think speeding laws are all that great, but, you know, the police are already stretched thin on the traffic laws. Are they really going to be out there pulling over people for going slow in the left lane? Something they can already do if they're going below like 40, I think it is.
Is there a law already in play?
You have to hit a minimum speed on highways so that you're not... so it's not unsafe, you know, especially if you're hauling a trailer, you know, things like that. In fact, unfortunately, there was a fatal accident up near Reno just this last week where that similar situation occurred. Someone in the left lane with a trailer, and it came unhitched and unfortunately killed the person behind him.
Oh, but,
you know, and again, roads are extremely dangerous, particularly in Nevada. People drive very aggressively, very fast. And I'm, you know, I'm guilty, you know, as well, of course. But, you know, people forget that it is a very dangerous, you know, activity to be doing. On the other hand, I don't think that a law is going to change the fact that people know that's the etiquette. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like this is new. this isn't new news. People know you're not supposed to be in the left lane unless you're passing, and they do it anyway. So is a $50 fine really going to be the best use of our state troopers' time?
Well, I like to think of the philosophy of, if you're taking money from me, if you're fining me, you are taking money from me involuntarily, right? So I consider that to be a crime. And that crime better be, the crime that I commit to bring that punishment upon me better be worse than what your crime is you're committing to me, right? What I'm agreeing to. So I think of like, well, if you're stealing $50 from me or $100 from me, is that a worse crime than me driving slow in the fast lane? And for me, it's a pretty easy answer of no. And then there's the slippery slope situation of, well, okay, so we don't want people driving slow in the fast lane, but then we might want people always going at the same rate of speed. Like, we can continue to put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of laws in to get people to comply to be exactly what we want them to be, or at some level we've got to trust people to be the very best version of them that they can be, and just say, like, you know what, if you're driving, you're going to be assuming certain risks, and if you're driving, we're going to assume that you are kind to those people around you, and if you're not, then the moment you do something that causes harm to somebody else, then we'll start taking things up and start worrying about it. There is definitely a safety argument that can be put in place. Like, I know in the Autobahn, you can't pass on the right-hand side. You have to pass on the left, and if somebody's coming up faster than you, you have to get over to the right. And that is a law. I don't think they even have to enforce it, because you'll get hit. So I think it's an unnecessary situation where we're putting in more and more laws, more and more things to try and enforce. If you continued this path of just, let's write more and more laws to have people be what we want them to be, eventually it becomes impossible to enforce them. So I think it's a waste of time. How about other local news? So the Raiders stadium got passed.
Boo.
I know. This is making big news. This is local news, but this is definitely making like national headlines. It's a $1.7 billion stadium, something around there?
I think I even saw it's up to 1.9 now.
Great.
I mean, that's just an absurd amount of money. That's 1,000 times more people than we have living in the state. That's like over $1,000 per resident in terms of taxes lost from people who aren't going to be spending that money gambling or drinking or going to clubs, going to see shows.
Yeah.
I mean, just think of all the money that's going to be going into even more expensive hotel rooms.
Well, and I think they made this kind of, they tried to hide it from everybody and say, well, this is going to be paid for by the people that come to town because we're charging it to the room rates. Well, we could use that money in other ways. Like, you're forcing the price of going to Vegas to be more expensive. And that is absolutely hurting the local citizen here.
I mean, and they totally ignore supply and demand, because we're already seeing a problem in this tourism-rich area where people would rather go to a Native American casino, which is right up the street, 10 miles away. They can stay in their own house that night, not pay any kind of room, you know, or stay in one of those there too. But, you know, they can gamble right down the street. Why come to Las Vegas?
Yeah.
We have to give them something to offer. And when clubs were big and they were booming and they were a huge thing here, we added all these live entertainment taxes and we really went after them. And now we've got like 10 or 12, you know, mainstream clubs on the strip, and there aren't new ones opening all the time. I mean, it's just a disgrace. You'd think that it's sad when LA has clubs opening faster than Las Vegas, which has something, I believe, like 40 million or more visitors every year.
Yeah. Well, and that's gonna continue to drop. But you're right, supply and demand on that. If there's this big resort fee there, and I can book an Airbnb, like, you are just incentivizing people to not go to these resorts.
Absolutely.
When I got married, a friend of mine who works at MGM, a performer there, got me a room there as like this suite, right? And so we stayed in it. It was wonderful. A year later, we were gonna stay in the exact same suite. And even though it was comped, it was given to us for free, there was now $34 that we had to pay in resort fees. And that's just taxes, right? And essentially what's happening there is that's just going to go up. So if $34 is just resort fees, like, there are hotels that you can stay at around the country for $34. There's definitely places you can. So it just increases that rate, and that sucks. And people are going to find workarounds.
Oh, absolutely. And then you're going to see even more property right around the strip area becoming Airbnbs, whether they like it or not. And you know, I don't know if they're it's extreme where they'd have to take this to enforce Airbnb, any kind of regulations.
Well, that's what seems to happen, right? So they'll put something in place, and then to almost try and correct their own problem, then they'll start taxing Airbnb to try and correct the problem they created to begin with.
Absolutely. And we just saw this also with the taxis and the Uber and Lyft. Yeah, I mean, ridiculous. And luckily that bill was defeated soundly, didn't even make it past committee. But absurd to make an Uber or Lyft wait 15 minutes before picking a passenger up in the state of Nevada, just so that taxis have a little bit more of an edge.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's just silly.
Me and my wife both work in the entertainment world. So when they started introducing an entertainment tax, she was go-going at one of the nightclubs. So they said, well, anybody who is providing entertainment has to pay this entertainment tax. So the clubs immediately figured out a way around it. They said, well, hey, girls, you can serve drinks between your sets. So we're going to call you shot girls, and now you're not entertainers anymore. You'll get free shots to give to the patrons. The patrons will give you tips, so you'll make money. Patrons will get free drinks, and we won't have to pay the taxes. So everybody figured out a way of avoiding these taxes, and the end result was the government had to increase those taxes and try and plug loopholes to make it work, basically making the experience for the patrons, for the clubs, for the employees worse across the board. We're seeing something very similar here.
Oh, absolutely.
So now the Raiders, coming from California, they haven't even paid off the stadium from back there with taxpayer money.
Oh, ridiculous.
And that was $200 million. And here we're talking somewhere between $750 to like $950 million that we're committing to.
Yeah, it's just absurd that, you know, they haven't even paid off the stadium that I think they got upgrades in. I mean, I'm not a huge football fan, but, you know, late 90s, early 1000s, I believe. And they're still, all this time later, have over $100 million worth of payments on that stadium. And there's actually another team leaving that area that's almost $100 million as well. I mean, it's just publicly funded stadiums are just such a huge waste of money, and they never bring the economic growth that people think they will. You know, as a lot of people like to point out, it just diverts economic growth into a different area. It doesn't actually do anything to bring in new growth. And if you don't think that stadium's going to be sold out every weekend to casinos who want to give them to their top patrons and gamblers and scalpers who just want to resell those tickets for thousands of dollars later, nobody in Las Vegas local area is going to get to go to one of these games. And if they think they are, they're just kidding themselves.
Well, and since Las Vegas locals are going to be paying for a large percentage of the stadium, like Bank of America put forward $650 million, but they're going to get their investment back as the stadium makes money. If the stadium makes money, I don't see how these Vegas locals are going to be able to get their revenues back, their tax paying, their money back. We already have the tourists coming into town. If anything, this is going to de-incentivize those tourists to come into town because it's going to be more expensive. So let's move on.
Yeah, the stadium is just, what a done deal, but it's horrible, and I don't want it to be all negative.
I know. Weren't you saying that they couldn't even fit like a soccer stadium in the stadium and that it's too small for like a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I was reading that they actually, and it's so silly because they've built stadiums. Like, I remember growing up in Arizona, they built the University of Phoenix Stadium, and that stadium is Super Bowl capable, but then they're going to build one here that's not. And I guess there's a certain number of seats that you have to have to be, or more, to host a Super Bowl, and there's only five of these stadiums in existence.
Jeez.
So Las Vegas could have been number six, and then maybe an argument for a Super Bowl on a regular case would have been a good argument, and maybe you could have crossed this in with soccer or something. But the fact is that we're building the stadium that's going to fill 10 games a year, home games, right? And are they really thinking that they're going to compete concert-wise with like T-Mobile Arena and, you know, some of the Planet Hollywood venue? I mean, these venues are far more suited to regular entertainment from the Backstreet Boys, Britney.
They're built for it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they do.
We have these arenas everywhere. We even have gigantic arenas like Sam Boyd for dealing with things like motocross or monster truck rallies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, oh, well. So how about the ISP? So we're both tech guys. We're both tech geeks, right? So the internet service providers have been granted permission, I hear, to essentially give out their users' personal information. What websites we've visited, what our names are, or what our demographics are, and what would you say is the libertarian stance on this?
Well, I mean, on the one hand, you are signing a contract with a private company, and if it's in their contract that they can resell this information, then right, you signed that away. But on the other hand, they're a monopoly, and they're a monopoly because the government doesn't, you know, allow for competition in this area. So you're kind of screwed into using whatever ISP you have. So, you know, there's a lot of ways around this, of course, and there's a great article by one of our contributors, Seth Martin, on our blog about how to encrypt your internet traffic, and it gives you three different ways to increase your internet security to get around this. But I'd say our official position is that people have a right to privacy, and particularly what they're doing on the internet. I mean, you know, most people don't want to have their porn life or their, you know, banking information or any of that kind of stuff anywhere that a private company could buy it. And even less perhaps vulgar would be just the big data collection. And that's what really scares me is that by analyzing which sites, just which sites, not even what you're doing on those sites, but just which sites you visit and how often, how long, you can actually find out a lot about a person. And it's through this process of big data where they can take all of this little information about you, they can analyze it and compare it to known sets of data where they've had people, they paid people, in fact, to take questionnaires, and then they've analyzed their big data. And they can start making inferences better than 50% guesses on things like sexual orientation, things like who you're attracted to, and they don't even have to know anything more specific than which sites you visit and how often. I mean,
wasn't that a big Target thing where Target could predict if a person was pregnant before they knew if they were pregnant? I think they could do that, and they could also do like divorce rates. They could figure out if somebody was going to get a divorce, and they got in trouble because they were putting out ads about like, here's all this baby stuff, and they're like, I'm not pregnant, and then they'd find out they were pregnant, and then Target would be like, we happen to know based off of the things you were buying. You started buying multivitamins and things, and they just knew. So yeah, I mean, what a weird situation. We already live in this world, though. We already live in a world where, Amazon has the information of what you're purchasing on a regular basis. Google knows what websites you're going to and what you're searching for. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but the privacy stuff is kind of out there already. Facebook knows not only who you are and what you're about, but like who you socialize with. So one thing to consider is you probably already have a existing privacy policy with your internet service provider. So you might want to check on that and see what those terms say. What I would love to think is that if by deregulating an internet service provider, that gives an internet service provider the option to provide various choices. So they ideally would be able to say, you know what, we'll sell your information, but you're going to be able to get this internet at a lower price point. Or we don't have to sell your information and it'll cost you a little bit more money. Like, that's free trade. That's fair market. That's a wonderful way of going about it. Now, unfortunately, there are so many regulations. There's so many connections with crony capitalism that our choices are limited as far as internet service providers.
I'd be more willing to accept an argument on that premise if there were hundreds of internet service providers that I could choose from, one that not only met my price needs, but met my privacy needs. But what's really nice, again, is that if you use things like virtual private networks and you always use encryptions, in fact, everyone should go and download Chrome or Opera or Firefox or Safari and make use of those with plugins like HTTPS only, where you can ensure that, and this is a thing, I don't know if you knew, but at some point browsers have like got plugins, like a whole plugin thing. And I had no idea that, like, I knew about ad blockers, but I mean, you can get things like that'll just tell you that you have cheaper prices on something you're buying at Amazon, I mean,
oh really? There's that level of plugin? I don't know about that one.
It will literally search through every other site that has that item and tell you if it's the cheapest version of that item on Amazon. The Amazon won't give you the cheapest price filter to the top. They'll give you their most popular seller. So yeah, isn't that how interesting is it that's very beneficial, and something like HTTPS only, it ensures that you're using that secure socket layer, not a unencrypted open connection where some malicious hacker, and it's not even so much about the government or people selling your information, but there's a lot of people out there that are looking to what's called do phishing attacks, things like that, that are trying to get into your systems and grab that information, grab things like banking numbers, credit card information. And although a lot of that stuff's encrypted, if you put it anywhere unencrypted even once, someone could have that. And there's nothing stopping someone from just sitting there and kind of tying into that wire to where you might steal cable and taking it.
So. I use a piece of software called Netshade, which offers VPN and proxy. So,
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, it's. Are you on a Mac?
I am, yes.
Oh, check it out. They charge for it, but I willingly pay so that I get decent speeds. You can use it with public proxies and stuff like that, but those public proxies are used by so many people that your speeds drop pretty significantly.
Sure.
But yeah, I like Netshade a lot. It runs as an independent application. You can say, you know what, I want to go through, I'm going to tunnel myself right through France right now. And suddenly, when you go to Google, everything's in French.
And you know what's great about that is that you can get coverage of things that you otherwise couldn't. If there's something that you can only watch in Germany, and maybe it's, like for me, it's, you know, I want to see Bayern Munich games live. You know, nowadays, of course, Bayern's great, and they have all kinds of ways to stream it on their TV. But, you know, some places don't. And so if you want to see a sporting event in another country, even one that you're willing to watch ads to see, you can't do it because there's some kind of bogus copyright or some kind of infringement. Or it's just so silly, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. There's the inventor of Cards Against Humanity. I think his name is Max Temkin. So he has said that he is going to go out and pay to get the Congress people that passed this law to get their browsing information and publish it. So it's pretty dangerous when you go up against the internet. They're a powerful group of people that are willing to do some pretty extreme things to embarrass those that they don't like, whether that is endanger net neutrality or whatnot. Like it's a dangerous group of folks that are very, very capable. So let's move on to some world news. So in Venezuela, the Venezuelan government has been seizing bakeries. So they've gone incredibly, I should say they've been socialistic for a very long time. And one of their most recent moves, there's been such a food shortage there that they are now requiring bakers to work and forcing bakers to work. And if they don't work, they seize the bakery and are demanding of that labor. And a lot of times people say, well, you know, food should be a basic human right and medicine should be a basic human right. And I get where that stuff comes from. But unfortunately, if you look at, let's say, our Constitution and the Bill of Rights, the rights that we're granted are rights that don't involve scarcity. The freedom of speech, there's no scarcity around how much you're allowed to talk or not talk. There's no scarcity around what you own and don't own. However, the moment you say that medicine is a basic human right, well, there is scarcity around that. So the only way to actually accomplish that, if you go down that rabbit hole far enough, is ultimately force people that are medical experts to work. And we're actually seeing that now in Venezuela, which is a terrifying situation to be in.
Absolutely. And in fact, I even saw an article that was criminalizing the selling of things like pastries instead of making loaves of bread because they were using flour not for something that would feed more people, but for something that was going to make them a little bit more, you know, they could fetch a little bit of a higher price point for it. And yeah, I mean, it's criminal to make a brownie there right now. That's how bad it is. And I don't know about you, but I like walking into a local grocery store and seeing the goodies looking at me. You know, I like having the other problem where I'm always trying to lose weight rather than, you know, my God, having to criminalize making brownies because loaves of bread are a higher priority. That's just,
it's very sad.
It is.
It's very, very sad.
Yes, and hopefully the people of Venezuela realize sooner or later that, you know, free markets mean free markets will provide the goods and services that the government couldn't possibly predict.
Yeah, I think back in maybe 40 years ago, they were the most profitable country in South America. And adopting these certain policies, which at face value, socialistic policies actually sound wonderful.
Oh, yeah. It's that a law of unintended consequences attached to good intentions.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sad. And this is honestly how I feel about a lot of the issues that I talk about with some of my more liberal friends is, you know, they do want to help people. It's not about not helping people. It's about, you know, the fact that it's not feasible. You know, there is a scarcity. And again, one of my friends said it best, and I forget which one, but you don't have the right to someone else's labor, whether it's baking pastries or providing medical care. Forcing, you know, anybody to work to provide a basic good or service for you, that's not right. And how dare you? And what incentive do people have to get into the hard work of getting up at 3 a.m, you know, like our friend Troy, that gets up every morning.
We have a baker.
Yes. Every morning. He gets up so early and goes in to start making, you know, breads and delicious pastries and different things. And you know, I'm sure he enjoys doing that because he's very good at it, and he's just
incredible. He chooses to do it.
And he does, and he does choose to do it. But if he wasn't getting anything for it of any kind, then how might he go out and get his, you know, bread and basic necessities? So, you know, it's just one of those things that part of being human and is learning to be self-sufficient and to market yourself in a way that you can use a common medium, money, I guess, in this case, to get those goods and services. But when the government's trying to just level it all out and predict exactly how many need how much, it's just sad because Now you see people starving, people who are just trying to get a loaf of bread for their children, and they can't. And they easily could if they opened up free markets. That problem could be corrected in a number of years. There would be a complete dramatic reversal there. Venezuela is so oil rich as well. I mean, they have natural resources that if they had the right investments from foreign nationals, they would be able to have the capital, right, to build, you know, more oil production and then use that export to provide jobs, to provide, again, you use what you have.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it comes back down to general property rights, and the most fundamental property that you own is yourself. And if you own yourself, that also means you own your own labor and your own time. And the problem with the farther you get into the socialistic ideas here is you start losing the time and energy that you put out into something. And we do see that in the United States, not to the extreme that we see in Venezuela, right? But every time you see a tax increase, what that says, if we're talking about income tax, we're saying that a percentage of the money that you make is not your money to keep, which means your labor is not really yours to have. Now, we are at a point where this can be corrected. Policies can be put in place. These things can be reduced. And that's really what the Libertarian Party is interested in doing. However, we can also watch that go into this route that Venezuela's gone down. And we can watch the progress of where it moves from socialism almost into Marxism, where what we've seen happen in like the Soviet Union, where it ultimately leads to collapse. And we have seen this over and over and over again. It's tragic to see another nation go through this, but it's a lesson that we can learn right now from it and move past it. I think that's all I've got as far as national news. Oh, there's some protesters that got arrested. Have you heard about the social parasite tax?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So Belarus. So they arrested hundreds of protesters because they are going to be charging a tax there called the social parasite tax, or I think that might be what people are calling it, the nickname of it. The idea is that if you are unemployed for more than 6 months, then you are taxed. Then you are charged a fee for being unemployed of $230. So essentially, it's a way of incentivizing people to try and, or I guess it's not really incentivized, but they're trying to get people to go out there and continue to work because they need that labor force. But they potentially already incentivized people not to work with all the Social Security programs and things of that nature in place. So now they're trying to find ways of taxing to correct the problem. Like we talked about earlier with the roads, they've created a problem that has led to tremendous unemployment, and now they're trying to fix that problem. Similarly, like there's talks in the U.S. about taxing robots. So we take a labor force and we've automated that labor force because we've raised unemployment, or I'm sorry, a minimum wage so high. As minimum wage gets pushed up, employers are incentivized to automate their workforce. As their workforce becomes automated, we don't need those jobs anymore. And now to make that tax revenue, they're considering taxing robots. So it's just another situation where to fix the problem that the government actually created to begin with, because we're going for this larger government, the only way to fix it is to expand the government even further by limiting people's rights and freedoms. So anyways, we're seeing that in Belarus right now.
Oh, interesting. And again, I mean, I'm reminded of what the unions did after they pushed for a lot of these safety, you know, measures. They started looking at, well, what else can we get? How far can we push it? And they've pushed several prominent American automobile manufacturers right out of business is what they did. And now they're pushing themselves out of a job because now with the as the price of automation has fallen, it's hitting where the price of human labor is. So why do with human labor what you can do with automation? And if that human labor had always been at the free market price, then automation may not have ever been something that they looked into doing because it would have been cheaper to hire someone to do it for the market price. And again, the market price is determined by the minimum amount of money that someone would get up out of their seat and give up their time to go do it. That's what it is, right? And everyone has that dollar amount. I mean, I know I do. I'm sure you do as well. There's a dollar amount that's that minimum amount to get you motivated enough to get up and go do something.
And that number is going to vary.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if that number is lower than minimum wage, right? So, unfortunately, people think minimum wage is there to protect the poor. Unfortunately, it actually creates the poor because if I don't provide enough value, if I don't provide $15 per hour of value, suddenly I can't get a job anymore.
And then you have this unemployment problem like they're probably experiencing in Belarus.
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing to be able to actually have a market where, you know what, I can't provide that value, but I'm allowed to come in and maybe intern with you and learn the processes until I can raise my knowledge so I can provide that value. That's what not having those regulations in place does. It increases employment. We've got a couple events coming up for LP Nevada. So there is Out for Liberty meeting, which is going to be April 11th.
Yep.
Which is awesome. Do you want to tell us anything about that?
Yes. We're organizing for our annual AFAN AIDS Walk. AFAN is the Aid for AIDS Nevada charity. And every year they do a AIDS Walk, usually around the third or fourth Sunday in April. It's at Town Square in Las Vegas. And so we're inviting anybody who's interested in joining our team and fundraising for our team, come on out on Tuesday and see what we're all about.
Awesome. That is going to be on Tuesday. It's going to be at the Phoenix Bar at Town Square. It's going to be at 7:30 p.m.
The Phoenix Bar is going to be...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I get that wrong?
Yeah, that's on Sahara, and that's where the meeting is. And then Town Square is where the walk will be.
Ah, thank you.
So sorry, I didn't mean to... Nope. I mixed my metaphors probably.
My mistake, no. So the meeting is going to be April 11th, 7:30 p.m., Phoenix Bar.
Yes.
What day is the walk?
It's April 22nd.
All right. So we got a little bit more time for that one.
23rd. Sorry.
Oh, yes. It's coming up.
7 a.m.
Cool. We also have the Washoe County?
Yes.
Am I saying that right?
Absolutely.
The Washoe County Food Drive is happening April 13th. It's going to be at 12 p.m. So that's at Capitol Hill at 350. And that's up in Reno. So if you are in that neck of the woods, please show up. Help support the hungry by providing some food.
Absolutely, and I think they're even specifically raising this food for veterans that are out on the street there.
Oh, that's great.
They don't have quite the same veterans charities that we do here.
Yeah. If people want to track you down, Alex, where should they go?
You know, there's a great way to find me. It's on Facebook. Go to /alexmd.liberty.
Cool. If you want to find me, you can go to my website, TyusFrance.com, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. It is at TyusFrance, or you can email me. Actually, you can email the podcast if you've got anything you want to let us know about, and that is podcast@lpnevada.org. Speaking of lpnevada.org, that is your place to go if you want to find out what we're doing, upcoming events, ways you can get involved, which we would really appreciate you do. And until next time, well, we'll see you then.
This show is brought to you by the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Music is provided by T. Sims. Please support the show by subscribing, sharing it with friends, and leaving a positive review on iTunes. For more information or to learn how to get involved, visit lpnevada.org. Thank you for listening.